We are so excited to announce that the second edition of Tamina Watson's book, The Startup Visa, Key to Job Growth and Economic Prosperity in America, is now out for order. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you get your books. You can do so by searching The Startup Visa Book or by finding Tamina Watson's author page on Amazon or online. That is spelled T-A-H-M-I-N-A-W-A-T-S-O-N. Thank you so much for your support and for tuning into this episode.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Tamina Watson, your host of Tamina Talks Immigration. This new series is on the startup visa and is a topic very close to my heart. The series is inspired by the upcoming release of the second edition of my book titled The Startup Visa. The book is set to release in July 2021. You will hear from nationally renowned thought leaders on the issue, as well as international leaders on entrepreneurship. Most of the episodes were recorded before the Biden administration restored the International Entrepreneur Program. Please do subscribe to the podcast and to our social media accounts to ensure you hear updates about the book and new episodes. Thank you to each and every one of the guests who have appeared on this series and for their tireless work for over a decade trying to establish a startup visa right here in the United States. Thank you to our sponsors, Park Evaluations, for sponsoring some episodes, and to our first ever series sponsor, Journey Business Plans. Enjoy the show.
Hey, podcast listeners. Be sure to tune in to Tamina Talks Immigration, where immigration attorney Tamina Watson discusses the latest on immigration news and issues. She talks to those who have impacted U.S. immigration laws and policies, as well as notable immigrants who have made great contributions. Check out Tamina Talks Immigration to also hear your questions be answered. Subscribe now for the latest on everything and anything immigration.
We are so excited to announce that the second edition of Tamina Watson's book, The Startup Visa, Key to Job Growth and Economic Prosperity in America, is now out for order. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you get your books. You can do so by searching The Startup Visa Book or by finding Tamina Watson's author page on Amazon or online. That is spelled T-A-H-M-I-N-A-W-A-T-S-O-N. Thank you so much for your support and for tuning into this episode.
Welcome, everyone. This is Tamina on Tamina Talks Immigration. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we have an amazing guest, and she has so much to share that I think you're going to really enjoy the insights that she will have to share with you. Her name is Jennifer Weinhardt. She is the policy analyst at Engine, a nonprofit technology, policy, research, and advocacy organization that bridges the gap between policymakers and startups. So on point for what we're going to talk about. At Engine, she focuses on important policy areas affecting startups, including capital access policy, talent, and tax. Prior to Engine, she spent more than several years on Capitol Hill, covering issues ranging from financial services to judiciary policy. She is a graduate of Tulane University and Tulane Law School and resides in Washington, D.C. with her family. Jennifer, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited too, because, you know, I would love listeners to follow your emails from Engine. I've actually been following it for almost a decade. I've never reached out until recently, of course, but I have seen the amount of advocacy Engine does on behalf of startups, not just for the visa, but on almost any issue that affects them. So I'm especially excited to have you on the show as part of this series because your voice is incredibly important. So I'm grateful you made some time for us. But before you start talking policy, I'm sure our listeners would love to learn a little bit about you. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you became a policy analyst in
DC.
Yeah.
So I grew up outside of Chicago, lived there until I was about 17. My family owned a small business there that my grandfather started. He came to the U.S. from Hungary and launched that. And my aunt and uncle, my father took that over. After finishing high school, decided to leave the area and move to New Orleans, studied at Tulane University. I was also a student during Hurricane Katrina. And so when the hurricane hit, I went abroad, moved to France for a year. While I was there, I kind of got my first taste of working in government. I did a college program at the U.S. Embassy there. Eventually moved back to New Orleans and to Chicago, did a couple of different jobs using sort of the French language degree that I had earned alongside of my political science degree, and made my way back to New Orleans for law school, and kind of went to law school with, you know, not really the intention to practice law, but more with the intention to work in government. So when I graduated law school after that summer, I kind of picked up and moved to DC and started the job hunt and ended up on the Hill and working in policy.
Well, that's really interesting to hear that. And wow, what a time to be in New Orleans, because wow. But, you know, the universe works in such mysterious ways. I mean, maybe you wouldn't have gone to France to have that, you know, pivotal experience.
Yeah, I was really on the fence about studying abroad. And, you know, obviously, when the hurricane hit, there were not a lot of options for what I was going to do for that year of my education. And so studying abroad seemed like it really fit, and it kind of served as a little bit of the catalyst for my work with government.
Yeah, very much so, I can tell. So you've been doing policy work for a long time. What drives you to do this?
You know, I think a lot of people come to DC and go to the Hill or think about working at an agency. They want to make a difference. They want to, you know, make a change. And I think, you know, it's the same for me. I went into it not necessarily knowing exactly what sort of policy area I wanted to work in. And I was lucky when I was on the Hill in that I, you know, was able to work on a number of different policy issues. I had covered small business, science, space and technology, financial services, judiciary. And so I got a little bit of a taste of a lot of different areas. And that kind of led me to figuring out what I wanted to specialize in. And, you know, when I moved off the Hill, the types of issues that I wanted to work on.
That's so interesting. You know, I went to law school because I wanted to practice as a lawyer. And I don't think I ever realized what policy really meant.
Yeah.
Until I really got into the startup visa stuff about, you know, a decade ago, because I had this epiphany that, oh, I could be part of the change. I could advocate for what I want to see. And it was very interesting to find people like you who really knew what policy was from the get-go. Yes. And how it can really affect. You know, a lot of our listeners are not necessarily from here. They're international and they're listening. They don't necessarily know what the Hill is. Is it possible to explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So the Hill, meaning Capitol Hill, it's working in Congress. You can either work in the House of Representatives or in the Senate. Obviously, you know, we have the Republicans and Democrats. So there's the sort of two-party system at play there. There's a lot of opportunities on the Hill, you know, working for members, working for committees. There are different caucuses. And so there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of opportunity to get involved.
Oh, fantastic. So you've been doing all of this policy work and you weren't quite sure where you would find your interest. How did immigration fall into the picture?
Like I said, you know, my grandfather came to the U.S. from Hungary. And so it was always something that was a little bit in the back of my mind. And when I worked on Capitol Hill, you know, I had handled judiciary policy for a little while, and immigration obviously fell within that portfolio. It's such a big issue. It's a complicated issue. It's a complex issue. There's a lot of back and forth, a lot of disagreement. But there are a lot of areas where I think that people can come together and can agree. And I think a startup visa is one of those areas. And so it kind of got me interested in how I could continue working in that space, but maybe off the Hill, working, you know, to advocate for certain groups that might have an interest in the immigration space, but, you know, don't necessarily dominate the conversation.
Well, I think your background truly is a great fit. The book called The Startup Visa that I've written is coming out on July 20th. When I wrote that 6 years ago or 7 years ago now, I had to do a lot of research. And part of that research was about the second generation and third generation Americans who have, you know, grandparents like yours. And in fact, the book, when it comes out on July 20th, there will be a podcast released on that day by the person who wrote the foreword. And I really would recommend people listen to that because the story is very similar to your background. And so let's talk about Engine then. So you said you went off the Hill to to advocate, and we've mentioned Engine already. Tell the listeners a little bit about what Engine does.
Yeah, so Engine is a nonprofit technology policy research and advocacy organization. Our sole purpose is to kind of bridge the gap between policymakers and startups. We work with government and the community of thousands of startups all across the country. They're sort of high technology, growth-oriented startups to support the development of technology entrepreneurship through economic research, policy analysis, and advocacy on both local and national issues. We work, you know, not just on talent issues like immigration. We work on a really broad array. Like you had mentioned, I handle capital access issues and tax issues as well. We look at IP policy, competition policy, privacy, sort of a whole bucket of things that might affect startups in the US.
That must be so interesting because each area that you mention is complicated in and of itself, whether it's capital access or tax. So I can just imagine your days being just interesting, and you probably don't know what you're doing when you wake up in the morning because stuff happens in the news and it probably affects what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. It sometimes feels that way, depending on what is happening amongst policymakers. Something that wasn't in the news a couple of weeks ago might pop up, and I may have had a plan for what I was working on, and that plan can just shift pretty quickly.
Yeah, I can imagine. I find that with USCIS and just immigration, if a policy has changed, suddenly I have to figure out which client is affected, particularly the last 4 years. Oh my goodness. I in many ways, it was difficult to like, oh my gosh, I'm going to wake up and I'm not sure what tweet is out there and how that's going to affect my clients. So I can relate to that. So as part of your work, you're obviously speaking to startup founders and a lot of companies to be able to understand what's happening on the ground to shape policy around that. Are you able to share some stories with us and tell us what you see?
Yeah, so broadly, I mean, a lot of the work that we do at Engine involves kind of identifying policy areas that impact startups and informing policymakers of what those issues are so they know what's important to businesses that might be their constituents and that are impacted by policymaking and lawmaking. An important part of that for us, and I would imagine for sort of the policy world generally, is hearing from the folks that are affected. So for us, that's hearing directly from startups that are impacted by kind of the different policy issues. We run a profile series called Startups Everywhere, where we profile founders from all across the country, all different walks of life. We do a new founder every week. We have a number of immigrant founders that are kind of in our network, I guess you would say. And there are a lot of commonalities, I think, amongst what they talk about. You know, a lot of them say, it's really challenging as a founder to come to the US and start your company. There are not a lot of avenues open to you if you want to launch and grow a business in the US. On top of that, we hear from a number of founders that don't just talk about how hard it is to come here, but also how hard it is to meet the talent needs that they have. There's all these statistics and stories, I think, out there about STEM shortages, and a lot of sort of fields that rely on STEM workers have relatively low unemployment rates. And so I think the argument is that there's a demand there for more talent. And some of these companies have trouble getting the talent that they need. And so sometimes they might be looking to H-1B visas, for example, to meet their talent needs. But those are not easy to come by. So also just thinking about how hard it is for startups to get the talent that they need and that how those avenues are limited as well.
So we're basically saying not only are founders having trouble getting here, when there are startups, they just don't have the skills that are necessary within the US. So they have to look elsewhere.
Yeah, sometimes they do, you know, but sometimes there are gaps, and it can boil down to if you can't find the talent here, are you going to look for the talent elsewhere? And so I think we hear a lot about, or at least, you know, in the work I do, I hear a lot about how the presence of immigrants helps create jobs. And so it's ideal to have those jobs here. And so to be able to pursue something like an H-1B visa and keep sort of the employment within the US and build your startup fully in the US is really beneficial, I think, both for the founder, but also for us, for the United States.
That's really, really important for people to understand. I mean, one of the things that I hear often, not here, but I get questioned often on, is immigrants taking jobs. And from what you're saying is that's not the case. Yeah. And one of the things that I try to impart is that the businesses that are serving Americans, they're serving American consumers. So ultimately, it's the consumers that are benefiting, the American economy that's benefiting. And for H-1B workers, like you said, there's actually a multiplier effect. Like there's a growth that happens for wages as well as other workers. So I think that's a really important point. And so following from that then, Jennifer, what have you seen about immigrant contributions then?
You know, I think there's so many studies out there that highlight the important contributions of immigrant entrepreneurs. There are studies that talk about the high rates of entrepreneurship amongst immigrants. There is that statistic that I feel like has floated around quite frequently about how, you know, more than 50% of unicorn startups are founded at least in part by an immigrant. A lot of our most influential companies are founded by immigrants, including, you know, some companies that have been very relevant to us amidst the pandemic. And so I think that is one thing that we've seen that's really important, that these are really, really critical contributions. These are innovations that we want to develop. And on the other side of it, you know, having immigrant talent in the U.S., we don't believe it to be tied to the taking of American jobs, that there are a lot of studies out there that show that job growth comes from the presence of H-1B workers, or if there were a startup visa, we would see, you know, a huge amount of job creation. And so I think that is something that we can kind of look to when thinking about what sort of immigration reform should we be thinking about.
Totally. And immigration reform has been necessary for decades. We'll be right back. Did you know a business plan is an essential component to U.S. immigration applications for new companies? And a strong professional business plan can significantly increase your chance of approval? Journey Business Plans is the leading immigration business plan writing company in the U.S. and Canada, producing professional business plans for all types of applications, including E2s, L1s, EB2 national interest waivers, EB5s, and especially the newly restored U.S. Entrepreneur Program. You've been on the Hill for a while. You know, we've had issues with comprehensive immigration reform. Should we do it piecemeal? And I think we're in one of those sort of moments again. What would you say about entrepreneurship and the startup visa, and why is it necessary?
Yeah, I mean, I think a startup visa is really critical. We've recently seen the Biden administration state that they're going to implement the International Entrepreneur Rule, which is a really, really great first step, but it's a parole program, so it's not permanent. It doesn't allow you to permanently stay in the United States. And it's not just about attracting innovative talent. Obviously, that's something that we want. That's something that we need. I think that's probably something that we really need amidst the pandemic when thinking about kind of economic recovery, but it's also kind of a competition issue too. There are dozens of countries out there that have startup visas. They not only have startup visas, but they're doing a lot to attract startups to their countries. You know, they're investing in things like research and development. They have fast-paced cities that have investors. These countries are having a lot to offer to directly kind of compete for those innovators with the United States. And so in a lot of respects, without a startup visa, we could be allowing ourselves to fall behind.
I very much agree on that. And I want listeners to take note for a second. Jennifer, I don't know if I mentioned this, but we've been recording this series for a few months now. And as we started it, part of the advocacy was, let's turn the light on for the International Entrepreneur Parole. And of course, as we've recorded these episodes, the Biden administration has turned the light on, so to speak. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. But you're right, it's a stopgap. It's a parole program. We need something permanent. So what do you think we need to do then to have a startup visa in this country? How do we make it happen?
So, I mean, I think advocacy is really key here. Policymakers, your member of Congress, senators, they need to hear that it's really important. They need to hear from their constituents. And so you can call a lot of people if they're not from the DC area or they're not involved in sort of the policy world, don't necessarily know that, you know, you can call your member of Congress, you can write to them, you can listen to hearings, you can keep them updated on the things that are important to you. And if a startup visa is important to you, if it's something you really care about, it's definitely something that you can let Congress know. It doesn't even necessarily have to be your own representative or your own senator. You can also contact folks on the different committees that are really considering these issues. And if you yourself want to kind of keep apprised of what's going on, they hold hearings on these issues. And so it's always great to listen into the hearings and just see exactly what they're considering, maybe learn about what proposals might be on the table.
I have a stupid question. So before COVID, I don't think I was even aware that I could listen in to hearings because now I can zoom in. Is that going to be the norm going forward so that listeners, if they're interested, they can zoom in to the hearing?
Yeah. Like most hearings are usually accessible online. I'm not certain, you know, what the protocol for each kind of committee is. But again, you know, if you're curious of learning more, you can always reach out and ask.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, we're almost at the end of this discussion, but I am sure a lot of people will be interested in the work you do and what Engine does. If they wanted to support you in any of your efforts or wanted to reach out, where can they get some more information?
So for us, it's really important that we hear directly from startups and what's important to them and what policies affect them. That kind of helps to drive the work we do and drive what we should be saying and talking about with policymakers. And so hearing directly from the startups is really, really critical. Like I mentioned before, we run a profile series called Startups Everywhere. We profile a different startup every week. And so we're always looking for startups to tell their stories and feature on our website. And then we also run something called Congressional Startup Day, which is a day in August, where we help connect startups with their members of Congress so they can hear directly from the startup what issues are really affecting them. And you had mentioned earlier receiving our emails. You know, we would always encourage people to sign up for our digest. You get our newsletter that way. And in it, we highlight a few different policy areas and sort of things that are kind of happening in DC that are important to kind of keep an eye on.
Totally. I really do appreciate that email. But I signed up so long ago, I forget how I did that. Will you please tell listeners how they can do that?
We have our website, engine.is, provides contact information for our team. We're able to sign up for Digest there. All of our resources are on there, kind of our startup-centric resources or startup-facing resources, but also, you know, our policy backgrounders, one-pagers, reports, things like that. And then there's also information on Congressional Startup Day on there, on our Digest, and on our Startups Everywhere series as well.
Well, that was wonderful. Jennifer, thank you so, so much. I really appreciate your time, your insights, sharing the knowledge and giving us guidance. And thank you to your organization as well, because as I said several times, I have followed the emails and followed the work you've done. And I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to speak with you directly.
So that's great to hear. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tamina Talks is brought to you by Watson Immigration Law. Founded in 2009, Watson Immigration Law is one of Seattle's premier immigration firms, specializing in business and investment visas, but offering a wide range of immigration services. If you need assistance with your immigration needs, Watson Immigration Law is ready to help. Just call 206-292-5237 to schedule an appointment. Mention this podcast to receive a 10% discount off your initial consultation fee.
The second edition of the Startup Visa book is out now. Find it online on Amazon, find it at Barnes & Noble, or wherever you get your books. Thank you so much for listening and supporting this work.
This episode was sponsored by Journey Business Plans and produced by Cambria Judd Babbitt. We would so appreciate it if you could please rate and review this podcast so others can find us. Thank you so much for listening.